Z for zoo. If you look at the history of the zoo, it's there have been apparently zoos from antiquity on, but the modern zoo, the zoo as we know it, came into being in the 18th century, and the first zoo was in Schönbrunn in Vienna. And it was basically an extended park with exotic plants and eventually also animals, a living exhibition that displays also colonial power. So it's very much related to showing wealth and power related to the exotic expansion of one's own realm. Later on, the first scientific zoo, which was then related to mapping out in taxonomies the realm of the animals and the plants, was London Zoo, which was established around 1828, I think. And then another 20 years later, in the mid 19th century, it was made open for the public. And then the zoo became indeed related to spectacle. So there's different ways of the modern project of turning the world into an image, which we discussed in Hunting, with the Weltbild of Heidegger also, that you see happening here. It's also a project that has severed us from the animal, if ever we've had a profound relation to animals, but we probably did in pre-modern times. So there's an exotic gaze, an instrumental gaze, a scientific gaze that places the animal, that frames the animal quite literally in the zoo also, by caging each animal and making it on display. That happens so through colonial power, through spectacle, through the scientific gaze. Now, the disappearance that has been produced is addressed by writer and essayist John Berger in a famous essay from the 70s, Why Look at Animals? And the motto, and I read it here from the book, says, "Everywhere animals disappear, in zoos they constitute the living monument to their own disappearance." Unquote. I like this notion of monument because he maps out indeed the kind of gaze and what we have lost, and he goes against the grain of modernity, but still also wants to look at the positive sides of a zoo, because it's not, of course we need science and we want to study animals. By calling it a monument, it holds a promise again. Namely, it's a place where we can study perhaps not only the animals, but also our gaze upon animals and perhaps the gaze of animals. Because if animals disappear, what exactly has disappeared? It's a profound relation we once had, and maybe today farmers still have it to some extent. But then still, if we imagine ourselves in pre-modern times, closer to nature and to animals, of course the animals, they have this curious yet indifferent look. They're in a different umwelt. The environment in the world makes sense differently to them than to us, and we don't share the same language. So what animals cannot do is look back like we look back in a reflexive moment when other human beings address us with their gaze. Yeah, we can bring this question also into the theater, and that's actually what we're doing with animal dances. We're studying certain animals, but more specifically we're studying perhaps our gaze and our relation to animals, because what other does the theater do than provide the context for studying the gaze of the spectator, the projection and then also production of imaginary bodies, and so on. And then it brings up the question of, can these animals, which are in the end human beings, being shamans, performing animals to figure out something about human relations towards animals, can they perhaps also look back and in a scene like the cow scene, the cow state at the end of animal dances, there is a clear address of, let's say, performers slash animals piercing through the fourth wall and looking at us. Of course, the secret that is left behind by the disappearance of our relation to animals cannot be revealed. We cannot simply undo that. nor can we actually understand animals if we go back to that earlier time. So it will always remain wrapped in secret. Yet at the same time, what we do in the theater is build fiction around it to make that secret shine or something, or turn it into a promise, which is not unlike the gesture that we discussed also earlier as the promise of language. It will remain stuck in the throat, perhaps as a gag, but yet there is the promise of looking back, the promise of having perhaps a shared imaginary space with that animal, which is not quite an animal, but it makes us reflect upon ourselves. Yeah, disease, the last letter of the alphabet, but the punchline should remain wrapped in a secret also here, I think.